Hey guys, before we get into the episode, you all know I'm a huge fan of fashion, and I have been ever since I was a little girl. And my first job, by the way, was actually at Macy's. And my love for fashion began when I started there because I worked in the fragrance department, but of course, my eye was always on the clothes and the makeup and everything related to style. But here's the thing, my relationship with Macy's didn't end once my days of asking people walking by if they wanted to sample the latest scents came to an end. Nearly 20 years later, I still find myself choosing Macy's time and time again for literally everything. It's become a really beautiful full circle moment that they've been such amazing supporters of our show for so long. And when it comes to shopping, they have everything you need, whether I need a last minute outfit or Kevin needs a last minute outfit for our friend's wedding. We always head to Macy's. They've got us covered. So if you're in need of some retail therapy, perhaps, or looking to spruce up your home or your lifestyle, check out Macy's, friends. I've curated a list of some of my favorite items that have helped me upgrade so many parts of my life, really my fashion the most, but of course home and baby and so much more. So check the link in the description and happy shopping, Hill Squad.
I'm on a journey to get better in all areas of life, from wellness and mental health to career and relationships and so much more. I know getting better isn't easy, but it's a whole lot easier when you can do it together. Welcome to Better Together with me, Maria Menounos.
Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Better Together. When you know better, you get better. That's exactly what we do here every single day. Our quote of the day, average is a choice. Greatness is a choice. There is no magic. Only decisions. And that is from our guest today, Trevor Moad, who you have heard on the show before. He's a renowned mental conditioning coach, works with some of the best athletes in the world. Russell Wilson, of course, one of his top clients. Happy Wednesday to our Hill Squad out there. Today we're going to be featuring Trevor, as always, and he's going to be talking about his visualization techniques and the pressure to stay neutral even during this incredibly challenging year. He's always helping us go neutral. Positive is too hard, he says.
Stay neutral.
But stay neutral. honey, have you been practicing Trevor's neutral techniques in the middle of the renovation?
I've been saying to anybody out there that I think the best you can do, especially right now, is neutral. Mm. I told you that, and you said, that's not true. I'm like, no, it is true. I think anybody, other than someone who owns a mask company, I think anybody who's, quote, killing the game or just doing amazing, I think you're either medicating or you're delusional or you're completely detached.
Okay.
Sorry. I think neutral is the way to go.
I feel like I'm killing it here in Connecticut, and yeah, Jeff feels like he's killing it in the Midwest. So what's wrong with us feeling like we're killing it?
You know what?
I'm outside. I'm listening to the leaves fall off. Guys, okay, I walked outside today. It's like 75 already. It's gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
And you hear the last leaves falling from the trees, and they just are making this collective sound because they're crusty, obviously. They're dead, and they're falling. Okay. And it's so beautiful.
Do you think everyone has that ability, Maria?
To go outside and hear leaves falling from the trees? Yes, everyone has that ability.
No, not everyone lives in those suburban areas that are so far out in the middle of nowhere, you know? So I'm coming from LA in an urban city, a working city.
So much to complain about. You have so many lemon trees to go out and just
sniff. No. I think being neutral, Trevor's right. Being neutral is the way to go. Just stay neutral.
Yeah.
Right now.
Well, that's the yogi way, right? Yogi Cameron taught us, you know, it's the same thing. It's staying neutral, staying here rather than riding the highs, you know, and that's where we've had such a roller coaster life, right? We're always and then, oh shit, and you go so low. So it's avoiding that roller coaster and staying neutral. But what's tough about neutral is you want to have that excitement and that big feeling like I won, right? How are you going to, you know, we're doing all this work with the NFL this week with, the series that they're doing, The Grind on Epix with NFL Films. And, you know, can you imagine in the NFL, like Tom Brady passing like the game-winning touchdown and then being like, okay, that was great.
No.
That's not going to happen. You're like, and you do your dance and your celebration move.
Well, but you know, Maria, you like that part, but you don't like the Kevin Garnett part and the like the where they're very serious and very focused 24/7 to get there. Mm-hmm. You pay a price for it. Yeah. And then you see after the fact with athletes, that's why it's so hard to come down from that high. But I feel, you know, you've talked about Sugar Ray Leonard and Shaq, people that you've known that, and Magic Johnson, who have that ability to turn it on there in the moment and turn it right off. And I don't know if it's a DNA thing or what. It's really mm-hmm. hard.
Well, I feel like this is always, everything in our life is sports or wrestling. Wrestling is sports too, but whether it's sports analogies or wrestling or Rocky, that's where we go through. But Kevin always calls me Shaq-a-doodle.
Shaq-a-doodle.
And he wants me to be more like Kevin Garnett, because Kevin Garnett, like in the series, was it against the Lakers when he got down, when they knocked him down for the rebound and we thought he was hurt and then he just went on his knuckles and started doing knuckle push-ups under the basket. And we're like, whoa. So Kevin wants me to be angry like Kevin Garnett, but I'm not. I'm like a happy, fun.
You're a doodle.
I'm a doodle. And so he calls me Shaq-a-doodle because Shaq would just like.
Focus, not angry. Focus.
Because Shaq not was angry. Just so good, he didn't angry. Have to be angry.
You know what, though, Maria? When you talk about staying neutral and staying focused, I see it when you host. You know, one thing I've noticed on red carpets, a lot of hosts, when they're interacting with talent, they kind of get this elevated, fakey energy to watch. And even when you're at the Oscars, Maria, you're so grounded and composed, and that's why celebs like talking to you, because they feel like they're chatting rather than being interviewed by a crazy person who had 5 coffees before the carpet started.
Thanks, Jeff.
That was good, Jeff.
I appreciate that.
What does Jeff say? That was a sharp observation.
That was a sharp observation.
Yeah, really, it's true, too, seeing so many red carpets. You're right, Jeff.
So you have it, you know, because that's not easy. I've done some red carpet hosting because of AfterBuzz, and I've learned to kind of bring my adrenaline down, but you have to do that work. I mean, can you speak to that, Maria?
I mean, I think being prepared helps you kind of get in your zone. So for me, I'm always heavily prepared before I do anything. You know, I'm going to be interviewing Julie Donaldson today and chatting with her. So I was up all night looking at all of her Instagrams, doing all the research on her. I found out that she was a reporter in Boston. And so, of course, I'm from Boston. You need to find those connection points with people. Mm-hmm. You need to find those things that they will know that you heavily researched them, so they feel like, oh, this person knows me. Mm-hmm. They know what to ask me. I'm not in some dummy's hands. The worst is when you are an interviewer, by the way, and you are being interviewed by someone who has no clue what's going on. Ew. So even though I got everything at 11 p.m. last night, guess who was up all night watching and reading everything?
Wait, can you do it again? What was that?
So yeah, you have to be prepared. And when you're prepared, you can kind of just let everything go at that point.
Yeah.
And have a conversation, and then you can be focused and in your zone. It's no different than, I'm sure, a player. Like Kevin was mentioning Sugar Ray Leonard. I had a conversation with him, I think it was last Christmas. I forget whose party it was, one of those like Hollywood parties. And I was like, I feel like there's an energy that hits where you're so in your zone that now you kind of transcend wherever you are, and you become almost like godlike. You can do anything. Things that you never thought were possible, you can do. And it's because you're connected. Or like when you see Larry Bird and you look at his highlights, that man was not as technically skilled as he ended up being on the court, but I think he was so connected to the game, and like he could do things blindfolded. He could have played the whole game and won blindfolded, and he basically did a lot of the time. But that's when you have done your work, your billion, you know, foul shots, and you know, your billion, you know, preparations, that once you're in it, you get in your zone and you can do.
When you're on the go 24/7 like me, guys, finding ways to make life easier is so important for my health and sanity. And that's exactly what my friends at Macy's do for me. From working there as a teenager to now going to them for so many of my daily essentials, it's been my go-to for so many years. And having everything in one place is such a time saver for me. With being a first-time mom, for a while now, as you know. I've had plenty of those, and being able to rely on them for all the things has been amazing. Plus, having everything in one place has made being a new mom just a little bit easier for me. So I know we're all focusing on our families, our health, hopefully, our jobs, and everything in between, but it's time to make your life a little easier. And to help you out, I've curated all of my essentials from Macy's for you and the whole fam. All the details are in the show notes below, or you can just click the link in the description to get your hands on them too. I have some new picks on there. This little bomber jacket, this little black dress. You're gonna love it.
Anything. Mm-hmm. And you just kill, right? When I wrestled at WrestleMania, I don't know who that was. I don't know how I learned that match. Like, literally that day in a 20-minute session, went out there in front of 75,000 fans at Dolphin Stadium. I don't remember anything after walking out of Gorilla and the lights hitting me. And I was like, although I remember seeing Mark Wahlberg front row and being like, what the F are you doing here? You had no idea I was going to be wrestling.
So random.
But something takes over and you do it. And I nailed everything I had to do. And I'm not a professional wrestler, but I was prepared and had, you know, done my work so that I could make that moment work. Or Dancing with the Stars, same thing. I, you know, had a security guard when I was having one of my moments at like the last weeks, and I was starting to kind of break down. And he goes, do you understand you're rehearsing maybe 30 hours more than anybody else here? He's like, I'm watching, I'm here. And I go, I do. And he's like, yeah. And I go, okay. And then I went out and got perfect tens that week because I had done the work. So you gotta prepare, and that's when you can have your magic happen.
Ooh,
I love it. Well, Trevor's such a genius with all this focus, neutral, mental visualization. So I'm so excited to have him on.
Me too.
I'm always excited to have him on. In the meantime, if you haven't subscribed on YouTube, please do. You'll get that little notification that lets you know who is coming up on the show so you don't miss a great interview. You can also subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your content. And you can follow us at Better Together with Maria on Instagram. Kelsey's been killing it on our Instagram account.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome very much.
From your notes, though. You know, it's not just me. I'm getting notes from you. I'm getting notes from friends. Like, that's why I'm killing it, because we're better together.
And our bomb interns.
That, too. Oh, yeah, they're everything. Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
I don't want to lose them.
We've got a great team.
So
we're going to figure that out.
Hey, Hill Squad and Better Together fam. It's been a tough year, but we hear from so many of you just how much our content is helping you heal and get better, and it makes us feel so good. Our team works so hard to deliver this life-changing content, and a lot of you guys ask, how can I have a bigger role in our Hill Squad community, or how can I do my part to help Better Together continue to uplift even more people? First of all, thank you for that sentiment, and we're so grateful for this community. If you could help us by giving us a 5-star rating and a comment on Apple Podcasts, that's amazing. Second, you could join the Better Together with Maria Menounos Facebook group and Instagram page. Third, you could share the show with a friend in need. And finally, for as little as $10 a month, please join our Patreon to get monthly live heal events with world-class healers, ad-free episodes of our show, and even weekly bonus episodes exclusive to Patreon. Getting better isn't easy, but it is a whole lot better when we can do it together. We love and appreciate and are so grateful for all of you.
Also, if you haven't joined us on Patreon, click the link in my bio or in the bio of Better Together. It's super easy to join us, and we are, of course, offering ad-free content there, but also you get extra episodes, and we have our Patreon healing events and workshops with the great, incredible guests that we have here, which you know are all renowned healers and doctors and experts. And of course, you now have access to them through these workshops and can have one-on-one contact with them. And I think that there couldn't be anything more valuable when you can have Patty Penn do a tapping session with you, and you've never tried tapping and you've always wanted to, but you know it's too expensive to try and not see whether that's actually going to yield a result for you. This is when you get these opportunities. Or any of the incredible people, Saw de Simone, and that workshop we had was incredible. And then if you haven't signed up and you're signing up now, you still have access to that library to go back in there and do all of this. So it's also a fun way for us to get to know each other personally, because we're all there live. And it's really, really cool. Enjoy it. It is fun.
We always cry.
Plus, you get to join the Heal Squad.
That's right.
the Heel Squad. So
it's been nice, though, because I've known a lot of your Patreon members now have become friends, mm-hmm. and they're helping each other, and mm-hmm. they're supporting each other. And it really is valuable. And I'll tell you guys, you know, I will tell you how hard these three work. I mean, these guys have minimized their social lives incredibly for this show. And, you know, on our end, we spend a lot of money to do it, but we believe in what we're doing and we see the lives we're helping. This is really your chance to help us back, you know, by joining the Patreon. It's going to help us keep this going. Hopefully grow it, expand it, you know, bring in more people. But yeah, it's definitely more than just laying down $5 or $10 or whatever it is. There's something bigger here, bigger community for you to join, but then also you're really helping us because it is hard. It's hard. The show, it's not a moneymaker. So it costs us a lot of money and it costs Maria money and time and it costs Jeff and Kelsey a lot of time. So yeah, every bit helps. I feel like it's like the old PBS back in Boston. You know, Channel 2 used to have its telethon begging for money.
Yeah.
And they always said they were going to go off the air. and we were shows and we believed it. So I didn't want to go without Zoom. So we always ponied
up.
So
what are
some
you
money.
Saying? We're a scam?
They always said they were going out. They never did. So I don't know.
Boo.
Maybe we're the same
poor
way.
Example.
I kind of liked example. It. I kind of liked
it's
it.
It's funny, but it just went south at the end.
Well, that ended with a joke.
Oh, my Lord.
I like your.
But even NPR does that too, Jeff. Don't they beg for money?
Yeah.
100%. And, you know, it is just like Kev said, what you're doing is, you know, we're a missional show. We do this because we love it, but we also do it because, you know, Maria's health journey saved her life, you know, and Maria has, unfortunately or fortunately, Maria's heart isn't one to just let that happen. When her life was saved, she knew she had to do something and give back. And that's what this is. And we want to keep the show as high quality with well-vetted experts as we can. And that does take money, time, and resources. So by joining our team, you get to join the Super Heel Squad and you help keep the show top notch. And we really, really appreciate that.
We do.
And I was just going to add a nice little note because our Patreon episodes have been really fun lately, you guys. Like, you get a different side of Maria, Jeff, and I that you don't get on the show. So that, I think, is really valuable and really cool, along with all the other things that come. But like last week's episode, we had a hoot. It was so much fun. So I think it's cool. It's so much more intimate on Patreon.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that is really special.
Anyhow, is Trevor ready to go?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah.
He's ready. Okay, so Trevor Moad is a renowned mental conditioning expert and strategic advisor to some of the world's most elite performers. In 2017, Trevor was named the sports world's best brain trainer by Sports Illustrated. From Fort Bragg to Harvard Business School, from elite quarterbacks to top-level CEOs, Moad's mission is clear: to motivate the motivated. We could all use some motivation in 2020. So Trevor is here to walk us through it all. Trevor, thank you so much, as always, for being here. I think you might be our top-rated podcast ever, or top-rated episode ever, just so you know.
I can follow Kevin's coaching. What's up, Kev? How you guys doing?
Kevy's talking to you, yeah.
Jeff, good to see you.
Great to see you. You guys both look incredibly handsome.
So, Trevor, before we get into some of the stuff we didn't cover in your book last time, can we just talk about the Patriots and the Jets last night? Did you watch the game at all?
Of course, I you know, spent two seasons early on working with Cam, big Cam Newton fan.
You did work with Cam. Oh my God, we have so much to talk about.
I did, yeah. He came out for the draft. I came down to Bradenton, and then I fly out to San Diego to work with him, and he was working with quarterback coach George Whitfield. And then we had the lockout. So we hired Vinny Testaverde and Ken Dorsey, as well as Chris Winkie, to come work with him, and had a blast.
That's so
different
funny
guy,
because
but awesome guy.
I was just talking to someone over at the Patriots about something, and I was, you know, talking about Cam and how I felt like maybe he was a little bit more of an emotional player and things get to him. And so he came out full of, like,
you know, something to prove and was killing it in that first game. And we were all so excited as Patriots fans, like, it's going to be okay without Tom. We're going to be all right. And then COVID happened. He got COVID. And now I feel like he can't get his mojo. And I feel like last night he kind of might have gotten a little of it back. But when I was talking to them, I wanted to say he should work with Trevor because he needs some guidance right now.
Yeah, it was funny. The last time I saw him.
And he needs weapons, but whatever.
The last time was right around this time last year, Georgia, we were playing Auburn, and Cam had like a camera crew following him. And I was on the sideline as our receivers were warming up, and it was nighttime. And all of a sudden, I feel myself going vertical up about 6 feet and then flipping onto my face on the ground with someone holding my feet. And it was Cam who came behind me and grabbed me and picked me up. I loved Cam. You know, when he was in Florida, every time I'd come back to my office, I had like 8 or 9 Alabama pitchers. And he would take all the pitchers and put them upside down. But, you know, just good guy, different. Like when we would go to Walmart at like 3 a.m, take the golf carts, like out driving on the street. But you know what? Emotional. And it was really interesting back then because he wouldn't give you a lot of eye contact, but he could hear everything. So I think there's a lot of things that are misunderstood about Cam, you know, obviously really handsome. But I think the biggest thing, truthfully, Maria, with your Patriots, first of all, number one, is Cam physically healthy? And he looked at versus Seattle, no question about the gun, you know, sort right. of slinging between Russell. But I don't know that he is. And then, you know, with Hightower, you had 10 players step back, you know, from with COVID, not with it, but choosing to be exempt from the season, take the $350,000. You're just missing way too many players.
I know. Yeah. It's really challenging.
I think it'll the Belichick and Brady and, you know, this game humbles you quick. Brady 38-3 last week. You know, he's not exactly a Jehovah's Witness right now either.
Yeah, I feel Cam is manic. And I was saying to Maria, I wish Trevor or somebody could work with him. It's like at the end of the game yesterday, he...
All right, friends, let's talk about something we all do. Snack. Trust me, I've definitely overindulged in the past, but as you know, I am focused on my health these days, and I think I found the healthier snack that you don't have to lose out on the flavor, and it's definitely become my go-to. It first came into the house because of Kevin. He was obsessed with Wonderful Pistachios, and then I got addicted, and now it's in my travel bag. I don't leave home without it. It's in our glove compartments because they don't melt. Right now, my favorite flavor is the sweet chili flavor. It feels like some of the naughtier kind of snacks I used to use where I used to lick my fingers after. Now I lick them and I feel safer. Plus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. That's crazy, guys. So if you're looking for the perfect snack, trust me and head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com to snag a bag of Wonderful Pistachios. You're going to love them.
Finally smiled.
Yeah.
No, there was only a couple of moments we actually smiled and was happy. And I feel like somebody's got to get with him and say, it's okay.
Boo.
Go out there.
Honey, there wasn't a lot to be happy about in last night's game. We were losing big to the Jets.
I only watched the fourth quarter, man.
Zero wins.
The deeper he goes in his head.
Yeah.
He's like throwing. I mean, the guy's got a rocker for an arm. He's throwing the ball into the ground. He's not himself.
Well, you got to remember, Kev, physiology is such a huge part of this game. You know, he's year 9 or year 10. His body is taking an absolute
beating. I know.
Well, and he got injured last night too. He got that hit to the neck that he's definitely hurting today.
So
who knows?
But what I will say in my experience with him, just a really dynamic, really good guy. You know, and he does a lot. You know, he was at the Nickelodeon Awards last year as well, and he's gotten so unique with the hats and all that stuff.
I love
in the
his
beginning
outfits.
Sweater vests, and so I don't, you know, but good guy. Hang in there with New England. They're not too far out of a wild card berth. Each team gets an extra wild card berth in both leagues this year because of the pandemic.
Do you feel like Trevor?
from Lake Arrowhead, California.
Oh, you're in Lake Arrowhead. I love it.
I moved up here 3 months ago just to get away. Manhattan Beach, you know, nobody was following any rules. Nobody was, you know, and it's just scary. And so I moved up here, and I think you guys probably can empathize in your new digs. So I live up here, and I got to go into LA every now and then. But other than that, I hang out with the hobbits.
Oh my gosh! So true story, Trev. Kelsey was obsessed with an apartment in Manhattan Beach that she had told her friend, if you ever move, please let me know. I want to go in. So she got the call like 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. The apartment's going to be open. So it was like the big decision, right? And we were all weighing in, and I was like, I don't know. I don't have a good feeling about it, Kelsey, but I don't want to interfere. There are a lot of positives. We weighed out the positives and the negatives. Well, lo and behold, the landlord literally stripped it from her. And I was telling her, I go, listen, driving from Manhattan Beach to the Valley is excruciating. The parking there is excruciating. Yeah. It is an odd time in the world. The beach communities are not what they are. Even normally, they're not right. Awesome, but whatever. And so I kept telling her all this. And so you saying that just now, we just looked at each other. We're like, oh yeah. Thank God it didn't work out.
Truly.
Well, because I lived on the Strand in the summer, then I lived back up a little ways. When you can get up and skateboard down and go to yoga at 6 a.m. and, you know, do those things when you're not traveling, you're 4 miles from the airport, which was, I haven't been to an airport since January, you know? So it's just, you know, and being newly independent, I could go wherever I wanted. And Lake Arrowhead's beautiful, and you know, I can do these calls and do the things that I need to do. We're working on the second book now.
You are?
Which is great. We are finalizing everything with HarperCollins for the second book, which is great. And so if you can handle a lot of psychological independence, I brought my mom down. She comes in tomorrow. I'm quarantining her for 2 weeks in an Airbnb. And then she'll hang out for like a month. She's 75. But other than that, you know, it's just, look, I've always talked to you guys about how your behavior precedes your success. Sometimes you've got to do the things before you see the outcomes. And then, you know, what can you still control in this unique, you know, year of 2020? And what I don't want to be is like many people who are still so well equipped to live in a world that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be adaptable and be able to live in November of 2020. And a lot of that is, who would have thought walking into a grocery store would be terrifying? But for me it is. So, how do you manage all that stuff and navigate through it? So here we are.
Yeah, so how do you advise people to handle the ever-changing world we're living in 2020? How do you talk to your athletes and tell them how to handle the ever-changing rules and regulations? And especially in their world, I mean, everyone's having to bubble up and all of that. But if you're, whether you're in a bubble or you're like us and we're out of a bubble, how do you adapt to the changing world without kind of suppressing your feelings too?
Well, I think you have to take the judgment out of it, because the judgment is a killer, you know, and like, why is this happening? And, you know, and that's where we've talked about negativity inputs, but with negativity being 40 to 70 times more powerful, you've got to really manage. You know, for me, I disabled my TV for 6 months. So all I had was, you know, Netflix and the major elements, just because everything else was so terrifying. Now, as we got closer, the last 3-4 weeks closer to the election, other things, and I'm up here, I made the choice. I'm okay watching some of that. I could handle some of that more. I was interested in it. I wanted to follow more of the opinion, but you know, so first, but really controlling the negativity inputs, you know, not trying to change other people, but working on the edges of where you can manipulate and manage through the negativity. What am I watching? What am I saying? Who am I surrounding myself? When I get a free call, who am I calling? Really good balance. I have like 8 o'clock movie night. If I have a choice between Philadelphia with Tom Hanks and Cinderella Man with Russell Crowe, at this point in my life, I'm choosing Cinderella Man, you know? And all that stuff sounds funny, but you know, the aggregate of marginal gains, which I think I'd mentioned to you, is how do we make micro improvements across small areas? And when you look at the National Football League, if you're gonna make it, you gotta go from great to greater in a lot of things and good to better in a lot of things. And you don't need to be sick to get better. So I think so much of that is powerful. But I think with the athletes, not judging, you know, obviously working with an NBA team that was in the bubble, I was still in California, you know, but just advising, doing the best I could of like how, you know, it is going to be boring. It's going to be a unique challenge. Testing twice a day. You know, I've taken, you know, 10 of these tests, like, you know, getting out of your own head and all the other stuff and just kind of navigating through it. And, you know, no matter what, I can deal with it and doing the best that you can to control the elements. And then, all right, we're meeting not face to face, but we're meeting via Zoom. People like Zoom meetings. You can't do, you know, look, you can point out all the things about Zoom meetings that don't work, but I think fundamentally they're going to change our lives for the better.
Yeah.
You know, relative to travel and all those things. And then, you know, I can't even go have Thanksgiving with, you know, like the Michael Johnson, the great Olympic sprinter who lives in Malibu. We're having this conversation. He just said, I took a look at everything up until March. And I said, none of it's going to be what it was. You know, I love going out to dinner. I love traveling. I love going to Italy. Like none of that stuff's going to happen.
Yeah.
So we'll do the best we can to bring Italy to us and to go walk on the beach. My last point, Maria, was just think of the words, what can I do?
What can
right?
I
what
do?
What can I do can be an exclamation point. Like, what can I do? Or it can be a question mark. Like, what can I do? And I think now that's how we kind of have to navigate it. If it means go to Connecticut, if it means go to Lake Arrowhead, if it means go to Seattle, if it means, it doesn't make it easier, yeah. Right? The idea of neutral is, yeah, this sucks, but things could change in a heartbeat, you know, like yesterday morning at 6 a.m. was like that. And then at 7 a.m. vaccine, you know, like you never really know.
Yeah.
So you know, I think, Kev, you know what I'm saying? I just do.
Idea. It can also be a statement, right? What can I do rather than focusing on what you can't do?
Right. But I mean, like it's the emphasis, you know, like what can I do versus like, what can I do?
Yeah.
Right.
But how do you advise your athletes who are stuck in the bubble? Like a Cam Newton, for example, I don't feel like probably is the type of person who likes to be in the bubble. Nobody does. But there are different personalities that can handle things better than others. How do you advise your athletes who are having to work under those circumstances to be able to continue their seasons?
Yeah, I mean, I think in the NBA from a lot of my friends who coach
I remember my mom always struggling with her hair. It's frizzy, Maria, my mom would say in her Greek accent. Diehis, what do you have? I tried so hard to find her products. I wish I could share these products I'm using now with her because I know she would be so happy to finally have good hair days. I've always believed that hair is a woman's best accessory. And with Way's new anti-frizz cream, you can ensure that your hair always looks its best without the frizz stealing the spotlight. It's a lightweight cream that not only provides immediate frizz control, but also helps prevent heat damage. And get this, it lasts up to 72 hours. That's 3 whole days of frizz-free, gorgeous hair. Way seriously has some of my favorite products for taming the frizz. Pro tip, one of my biggest discoveries is using the Way hair oil on the ends of my hair before I dry it. Let me tell you, it's a game changer. Once it's dry, my hair looks so smooth and polished, I don't even need to do anything else. It is incredible. I love it. Frizz-free, up your schedule with Way. Go to the Way, theouai.com, and enter the promo code HEALSQUAD for 15% off any product. That's the Way, theouai.com, promo code HEALSQUAD. Trust me, you won't regret it.
You know, a long conversation, like I think it was with Billy Donovan, mm-hmm. who's just a really good friend and now coaches the Bulls.
Were you working with the Bulls?
What's that?
Were you working with the Bulls this summer?
I wasn't working with the Bulls. He was coaching Oklahoma City this year, and I had worked with Oklahoma City a few years back. But Billy and I had been friends for a long time. He was a longtime coach in Gainesville at the University of Florida. One of the best guys I've ever met. And you know, some Lawrence Frank, Billy Donovan, I mean, some of these guys are just incredible people. But what Billy said was like, literally it's like treadmill a couple times, multiple tests a day, you're running your practices and you're going home to your TV. Yeah. And then, you know, doing that, they did some things for players with player lounges and stuff. But look what, I mean, the NBA was the perfect example. They had like no negative or no positive tests. And it showed you, if you follow the rules, what can happen.
Yeah.
But it was tough, you know, for those guys. And it also did work out. They only had eight games left in their season for the most part. So they were able to kind of shift right into the playoffs. Right now, the NFL had the opportunity to have a bubble.
Yeah.
In localized in each team's community in Seattle or New England or, Key Biscayne. But the players didn't want to.
Yeah, they have to be in their own bubbles, basically. Their personal bubbles.
Well, you know, so it's incumbent upon, if Russell goes to practice, that Russell's going to go home and be with his family and you know, not do those other things. And I think, you know, that's going to be – the NFL hit a really tough stretch about 3 weeks ago. But it looks like now the way they're doing it, because they've gone to testing twice a day, is if you do test positive, they're testing so frequent, they can isolate you without necessarily having to shut down the team, because everybody else has had such frequent testing. You know, it seems like the additional testing has helped. But I mean, who would have thought, Maria, we'd, you know, be having a conversation like this?
No.
But we do, and
we got to roll.
You know, I think it's just, how do I adapt and how do I adjust? Change is inevitable. Growth is optional.
Change is inevitable. Growth is optional.
Wow.
I love that. That's a great quote. Write that down. I love that. You know, last time we spoke, Trevor, we didn't talk about visualization, and it is a part of your kind of teaching and your philosophy. Can you share how you instruct people on visualization?
Yeah, to me, it's a more advanced skill, but it's an important skill. You know, what it allows you to do is to see yourself as if you can already perform something you haven't quite mastered, you know, and it became real popular in the, you know, in the 50s, 60s, and 70s during the Cold War in the former Soviet Union at their Olympic training camps called psycho-cybernetics. And this sort of cybernetic, which sounds like a Schwarzenegger, like a Terminator. Sabadon system, cybernetics. But it's essentially your mind can't distinguish between a real experience and an imagined one, right? And that goes back to, you know, you're at school and all of a sudden you jump and you thought you fell down a cliff and you didn't. So when we learn how to, through eidetic imagery or guided imagery or progressive muscle relaxation, so a lot of times as we advance with our teams, we'll lay our guys back, squeeze your feet 4 seconds, relax them. Squeeze your calves 4 seconds, relax them. Squeeze your quads 4 seconds, relax them. And then, you know, we'll regulate, breathe in for four seconds, hold it for 4 seconds, release it for 4 seconds. And then as I'll start playing crowd noise. And then at playing the crowd noise, and then first person present tense, first quarter, all right? And then kind of take the next 3 or 4 minutes, play through your specifics. See yourself grabbing the ball. See yourself, you know, all the different types of things. First person, present tense. Before we'd go to the Youth World Cups back in the days with the Freddie Adus and Josie Altidores, I'd take the guys to the beach and we'd lay down. I'd play the national anthem with crowd noise before the kids are getting ready to go play in Mexico or in Central America. It's
like a
vividly
primer.
Imagining an experience in advance of that experience happening. So it can happen, you know, through relaxing your muscles, regulating your breathing, then walking yourself like a golfer. You know, I've had golfers who, you know, keep slicing off the tee, and then we go through, you know, the mental rehearsal, and as they mentally rehearse it, they slice off the tee. So until we can fix it in their mind, they're never going to be able to go out in the course and do it. So 10 perfect ones, 10 perfect free throws, you know, see yourself as you step up to that presentation, confident. You look down your hands, you look at your note cards, you look at your skin, you look at the, you know, the more you can reinforce it. So the best example of it is the Matrix. I mean, the Matrix built a whole trilogy on the idea of cybernetics. You know, I remember that scene. I remember showing the Jacksonville Jaguars this, where Neo, which was Lawrence Fishburne, and then Keanu, and he's like, where are we? We're inside a computer program. This isn't real. And he said, you know, what is real? Mm-hmm. All real is electrical signals interpreted by your brain. And I sound like the total American, right? Quoting Matrix on a great program like Better Together, but it was a great metaphor that you could live a whole life through your subconscious and never really tell the difference. So, but you know, Maria, I always go back to it. You know how I am, that focusing on the subconscious, programming ad campaigns like Just Do It from Nike, or I take setbacks as temporary, I bounce back quickly, I feel healthy, I do, you know, I stay on top of my health with rigor, with passion, with persistence. Like, all of those things are powerful, but they don't matter if we don't watch what we internally consume, TV-wise, our remote, what we say out loud, you know, all the basic fundamentals. And I've always felt like the self-esteem movement, a personal development movement, has gone too quick to the subconscious and not focused enough on the conscious, what we verbalize, what we watch, where I think the real power is.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like step one. You got to clean all that up first.
Got to clean all of that up, which is so much like, I control what I say. You know, I control what I say. And so I think that that's, you know, really, really important, that idea of, you know, I can do this, I can manage this. I have some control of my life, maybe not as much as I had 9 months ago in some ways, but, you know, in other ways I still do.
I like when people are like, I can do hard things. Like, that makes me feel better. And I have to say, what you're talking about, we've talked a lot about on this show at different times with the studying of Esther Hicks, where it's like, you have to envision what you want and feel it as it, as if it's happening currently to you, and celebrate as if it's currently happening to you in order for you to manifest it into your life. And so for Kevin, someone like Kevin, who's like a dude, like a real dude, he's not going to connect with an Esther Hicks like I do, but your way he can connect to a lot easier. Yours is more relatable. So I'm sure, Kev, just hearing Trevor say that, it connects with you a little bit more, because we'll get to language and how important language is, because I feel like, you know, there are a lot of self-fulfilling prophecies, whether it's like, I'm never going to have the career I want, or I'm never going to be successful, or my time has passed, I'm too old. There's so many of those things that you hear people say, and then you're just contributing to the end result that you're prophesizing.
Right. And I think where I might relate to Kevin more is, you know, like I've told you, there are no Tony Robbins in sports. You know, like, athletes aren't looking for self-help. It hasn't grown the industry of sports psychology, really, because the expectation is the expectation. This is the quality standard. You meet it or you go.
Yep.
You know, and there's the article recently on Russell Wilson spending $1 million on his body and his mind a year. And you have LeBron, and you've got a handful of guys, TB12, right? Guerrero, Alex Guerrero, I think, and Tom Brady. But for the most part, you know, it's just like, there's not a lot of resources. You get in and you perform. And then to some degree, you might grab somebody like me and a few others that, hey, that makes sense. Or a Nick Saban's gonna say, hey, you're gonna be a part of our program. This year, I've spent a lot of time with Michigan State football, you know, really focusing on.
I'm sure you've heard about probiotics. We recently partnered with Just Thrive. Tina Anderson is the mastermind behind this extraordinary product. Why do we need a probiotic?
The world we're living is so disruptive to our gut health, from antibiotics that we take, from Roundup that's sprayed out over our food supply, to stress. We see symptoms like gas and bloating, diarrhea, constipation, skin rashes, autoimmune issues and allergies, mood disorders. So anxiety, depression, all of those types of issues are stemming from our imbalance in our gut.
And the thing about Just Thrive probiotic is you don't have to refrigerate it.
To be a probiotic, it needs to be alive in your intestines, not alive in the refrigerator. And most of those probiotics in the refrigerator actually don't make it to the intestines alive, which is the goal.
If we couple the Just Thrive probiotic and the Just Calm, what do we get?
We know the probiotic alone is helping with the leakiness of the gut and helping all other types of things in our with our overall health. But we know now when we add the Just Calm, it's helping with our mood.
Guys, Just Thrive is a game changer. If you're ready to take control of constipation, bloat, and stress and live your healthiest life yet, you can get 20% off your first 90-day bottle of Just Calm and Just Thrive probiotic today. Just visit justthrivehealth.com and use the promo code HEALSQUAD. You won't regret it.
You know, right now we're focusing on, like, how do you be consistent? We just beat Michigan, and then we just lost to Iowa, and it's kind of part of that journey of if I'm good enough to do it sometimes, why am I not good enough to do it all the time? You know, and we all fight that battle in our lives. And that's the difference between unconscious competence and conscious competence. And unconscious competence is, hey, Kevin, you were amazing. You had an incredible performance. This is what you did with Maria's career and AfterBuzz and all the different things that you've done in LA. What do you attribute your success to? Hey man, I got no idea. Maybe like a neap tide or like earthworms. I mean, I got, you know, like, that's not a good answer, you know, rather than, well, this is, we did this, this, and this, this is what we did with Maria. This is how we, like, that's a good answer, you know, and that constant evolution, you know, Russell can have 5 touchdowns and explain why. And then he can also, you know, have two interceptions and explain why,
yeah, you know,
and not be afraid of it, but own it.
Yeah. 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 Kev, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I go back to Cam Newton because I've been watching him very closely every game. And you mentioned the game with him against Russell. To me, that was the two best quarterbacks in football in that moment. And I think him being 16-0 his first season, I remember when he lost that Super Bowl, I remember telling my father-in-law, because I've been a fan from day one. And I remember telling my father-in-law, I said, someone's got to get with this kid.
Yep.
Because he's never going to recover.
Yep.
And unfortunately, I was right.
Yeah.
Then if you watch the first few games of the Patriots, even Tony Romo was saying, like, hey, wait a second. We shouldn't be counting out these Patriots. And he gave them a dynamic they never had before. Mm-hmm. They never had a guy who could run. They never had a guy who was more of a he was actually better for the millennials, if I may go out on a limb. I don't know the infrastructure as much. But as an outsider, it seems like he was better with the young receivers where Tom intimidated them.
Right.
Tom was just like, bring your A game and shut up. Whereas this guy wrapped his arms around them and was like, it's going to be okay. I've been through it. And then COVID happened. And I feel like he just spiraled again.
Right.
And I feel 100% mental coaching is, you're scratching the surface, Trev. It's going to get so much bigger because millennial culture and Gen Z culture demands it.
I do agree that. I definitely agree with that, particularly Gen Z culture, you know, which I've been learning a lot more about Generation Z of late, which Generation Z seems to be more of a going back to a little bit of toughness and some of those other areas, but it needs a lot of inclusion and it needs, you know, asks a lot of questions, you know. So, to Maria's point, you know, I just think simplicity for the vast majority of our country. We're looking for answers that can help us right now, you know, language and habits and behaviors, you know, all that stuff, you know, can happen right now. And when I go back to Cam, I remember when we were at the pro day, or not the pro day, but the combine. And, you know, at night he would come to my room and we would go through very specific things for the press conferences, and he's all in. And then, you know, the day that he threw, you know, he missed 3 or 4 throws, but they focused heavily on that. And I just remember when he had his pro day in Auburn, you know, he's a big time player, performs in big time moments. That Super Bowl, you know, you had the ultimate contrast the year before Russell throws that huge interception, and they, you know, he comes out in his press conference devastated, but they said, you know, hey, Pete Carroll said it was his fault. Russell said, ball's in my hand, it was my fault, but I like the way we attacked it, the approach. We got all the way down, got to the 1 yard line. Got to give Tom Brady, got to give the Patriots credit, give Malcolm Butler, was a heck of a play. That next year, you know, Cam just walked out of the press conference and he says, you show me a good loser, I'll show you a loser. And who's right or who's wrong, but that's why I always say, for those who vent out a lot of negativity, hey, I just need to vent it. There's no science that supports venting as being good or bad. It's a lot of negativity. And the organization and Cam never moved on from that moment, where Russell, by handling it how he did, helped the organization start down the path.
Ooh. Good point. You know, and, so then for the everyday person who feels like they're venting, you know, because sometimes I'll say to Kevin, I just need to vent for a second. What is the alternative? How do you handle all those emotions you need to let out?
I still think it goes back to discipline, to not say anything in that moment, but to step away, you know, breathe, you know, it's like, you know, in a sporting event, you make a mistake and you come to the sideline. There's a moment where you can vent, throw your helmet, do all those other things, or just, you know, sit down and start working through the truth in your mind. That's, to me, there's no judgment. There's no right or wrong. But if negativity is 40 to 70 times more powerful, as we verbalize it, you have made it significantly more challenging for yourself to move on. Doesn't mean, and that might be okay, but if you didn't say it, or you went to, all right, this is not going the way I want to go, like, how, and not trying to be positive, Maria, because positive at that point will feel inauthentic. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not ready to move to that place, you know, but not going to negative, just being like, all right, that sucked. Right. What do I need to do? All right, I'm on NFL The Grind. This is the piece I'm working on. How do we finish this thing strong? You know, or and then just go to the truth. Sucked. What do I need to do now? There's nothing wrong with just saying, God dang it, I could be so much better, and then just getting there quicker.
Interesting. You know, yeah, because
I wouldn't confront somebody for venting.
Yeah, because if you swim in the negative, you're not going to come to the solution, right? You're just adding fuel to the
fire.
It's
too powerful.
Yeah.
Rather than thinking, what's
the solution? How can I turn this around?
Right. And then, you know, but the first step, like we said, is just, you know, like we told our players, as crazy as it sounds, stop saying stupid things out loud. You know, like, because that's all you can prove is that hurts you. Mm-hmm. Saying great things out loud, there's no proof that that helps you. So remember, so much of what defines a great performer in the world, in your industry, in the medical community, in the pharmaceutical community, in the flooring community, in the athletic world, in the special operations community, is not what he or she does, it's what they're willing not to do. What they're willing not to watch, what they're willing not to eat, who they're willing not to engage with. You know, because a lot of times in life, we can't make things better in the short term, but we can make them a lot worse.
I love that. You know, just like such a switch of perspective. What am I willing not to do to be greater? You know, even on the show every day, we're bringing in experts like you, Trev, to make us better. But sometimes focusing on all the improvements we have to make can be overwhelming. So rather than focusing on all these improvements we have to make, maybe we focus on the things that we can do, the things that we won't do anymore that will add up to better results. Like even this morning, I was thinking, wow, I wonder how quitting soda has affected me, right? That was something I was willing not to do anymore. And so that yields a result rather than saying the opposite, right? Like I have to do all these things to stay healthy and whatever. I was like, let me just remove this.
Yeah, and think about that. I was watching something with Brendan Burchard or one of those top self-esteem, and he was talking about, you know, getting up and journaling and doing all these things. And and all things that are really good. But I was thinking about the community that I've served, like, our guys aren't going to do that ever, mm-hmm. ever. Bed for 30 minutes and journaling.
Yeah.
Never happening. The odds of me ever doing that, no shot. Right. But there are a lot of things I cannot do.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if people listening to this show identified the five things that they could not do right now that could immediately change their life, that would be a powerful starting point.
What are the five things you would suggest right now to have people not do to change their lives?
I would find that the television stations that you know don't help you and not watch them as often. Food that you know doesn't help you and not eat them as often. People that you know don't help you by engaging them by choice, not necessarily coworkers, but people that you know aren't the right ones for you and not engage with them as often. Relationships that you know can be toxic and not help you get where you want to go or develop the roots inside you in the way you want to live and not engage them as much. And then, you know, lastly, I think, you know, the language in which you communicate, the goals and aspirations, you know, that you have by doing a better job of identifying what you could immediately stop doing that would make you closer. You know, I saw McConaughey's speech, graduation speech at the University of Houston, and he goes through his kind of his 13-point checklist. And you know, it was incredible. He said, the first thing is, you know, eliminate who you're not. And, you know, I'm not that guy. And then that gets you closer by, you know, to getting to who you are. You know, and I think the self-help industry, and I get it, like, Maria, the thousands of people that are coming to listen to you for years for the incredible service you provide are looking for help. They want to get up early. They want the journal. They want all the elements. They're willing to do that, which is great. I've learned that a lot more in the business community. And Kevin and I may not be that way. We still want to be optimized. Mm-hmm. We still want to be big time performers.
Yeah.
So I think you have this population, but I think the broader population, by not being intimidated, by just, hey man, I'm just not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, not saying certain things, not engaging certain things will change your life. Less negative can change your life. When that remote's in my hand, I mean, we're competing against that remote. I've had, you know, $25 million a year players, you know, that I work with and deal with a lot, that will go back to Twitter and saying some guy named Slappy Boy Iowa, you know, in, you know, Des Moines or Sioux.
As a first-time mom with a baby, I'm always on the go, whether it's running errands, getting my coffee, going to doctor's appointments, or just spending quality time with little Athena. And that's why I rely on Wonderful Pistachios to keep me fueled and ready for anything, no matter where I am. Kevin even keeps a bag stashed in the nursery. You know, for the nighttime hunger moments. Wonderful Pistachios comes in a variety of flavors and sizes, making them the perfect snack to have literally any time, whether I'm enjoying them during a quick break in between taping this show or I'm on the go and it's in the diaper bag. I do carry it in my travel bag and they're in my car. At this point, when I'm leaving the house, I think keys, wallet, Wonderful Pistachios. Bonus, Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts with 6 grams of protein in every 1 ounce serving. So on top of all that, they keep me feeling satisfied. I'm energized while I'm juggling all this crazy stuff in life. Next time you're looking for a convenient and guilt-free snack, head over to www.wonderfulpistachios.com and stock up on your favorite flavors today. Minus the sweet chili.
City, like giving him power or giving her power in my social media feed, as opposed to turning off my notifications, you know, it like changed my life because I started to need Slappy Boy, his perspective, rather than like, who do I really need? You know, my spouse, my coworkers, who's going to give me the answer, you know, in a medical situation, my doctor versus the internet. What was more powerful, my doctor or the internet? You know, and by not going to the internet, I give my doctor more influence in my life. You know, and so Look, I've lived in an industry where they're not watching Better Together. So how do you put a message that just makes sense?
Yeah.
It's just simple and basic. But I also agree that visualization, imagery, that there's the next level once we master the basics.
Yeah.
Trev, how you deal with athletes, I'm sure, and coaches who have bad habits. So I think that's something universal for everybody listening. What do you have techniques to break a bad habit?
Yeah, you know, Limitless Minds, we focused a lot on teaching this language, right? The business I have with Russell, which is kind of all designed this way. And one of our statements is, first you form a habit, then that habit forms you. You know, and so even the basic ones, right, Kev? You're walking in Encino or Chino or, you know, LA, and you have to take your shoes off. And the first five times you walk in with, you have your shoes on. And then after a while, you just take them off. You don't even think about it anymore. You know, so habits are based upon repetition. Mel Tucker takes over Michigan State football. You got to break the habits. How do you do it? And you guys have had Joe Dispenza, who talks about this, you know, really, really well, a more complicated way. But, you know, obviously, you know, once you break a behavior, then you break those wires, then you start doing a different way. You rewire yourself and those old wires no longer exist. So, you know, how do you focus on habits? What you got to do is mandate behavior, and you got to sell, this is why we do it this way. Just do it that way. We don't care about your feelings. And the doing is what changes the behavior. The feeling is what limits it.
Mm.
Wow.
You know, and so, all right, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk, you know, from here to the UCLA facility down at the front of Lake Arrowhead. And I'm doing it, like, you know, whether I, and so I'm mandating it halfway through the walk. I'm glad I'm doing it. My relationship, wow. I'm not going on my ex-wife's Facebook. You know, while I want to, I should know, like, I'm not, it doesn't exist. I delete the account. I do, like, and you know, and I go from that perspective, you know. So I think that the doing, it goes back to Star Wars, you know, do or do not, there is no try.
There is no try. You
Kevin
know, but
says
it's so,
all the time.
You know, this is the part, this is the one of the few things from the 20th century I would love to carry over to the 21st century, Trev. The challenge I feel is, the challenge I see is that I hear from a lot of my kids, my hosts, that no, it's
feelings.
You cannot dismiss facts, right? It's feelings first. And what you just said, which I had to write down, is that, you know, doing is what changes it, and feelings are what limits
the feelings.
It.
Yeah,
I couldn't agree more. And I'd love Jeff and Kelsey to weigh in, because they're, you know, in their 20s, and I know your generation, I hear all the time about feelings over facts.
No, I mean, I agree. And I think Jeff and I can speak to this both, because we're both very sensitive people. And we like to say that we're both Pisces, right? So we're very sensitive. But I'm serious. Like,
we're feelers. We're both feelers.
We are.
Sure.
We're both feelers. And so we internalize a lot of things. And I have tried, Trevor, my whole life to really not necessarily put my feelings on the back burner, but understand what I'm feeling and understand if it makes sense in the situation. Like, if it's something important that needs to come up, right? Mm. Because I grew up with parents who were like, why the hell are you crying? Stop crying. Just do it. And I grew up an athlete too. So it's like, I think that was the, oh yeah, your feelings are more important than the facts, was kind of beat out of me. Mm. So I think I'm kind of a bad example. But
they're still there. It's still a battle.
It's still a battle. It's still a constant battle.
But also, it was probably made worse. Like, if you don't have a parent that at some point will have your back and make you feel safe to have your feelings, that's also probably a challenging thing. You can't just have a military, you know, situation.
Totally.
And so you need somebody, your parent is supposed to be the one that hugs you and tells you it's going to be okay sometimes.
Totally.
Not all the time. You know, it's not.
And I mean, my mom and I have a constant battle, because she'll be like, why are you crying? And I'm like, Mom, this is my only, like, this is my MO. I get frustrated and I cry. So we've gone through that battle because I'm like, why aren't you comforting me? And she's like, why the hell are you crying again? Like, do something about it. Okay. Stop crying.
Trevor.
So that was beat out
of me. How would you coach Kelsey through this?
Well, I don't think it's black or white. I think feelings are critical in our life, mm-hmm. you know? So, but it's, do we lead with them?
Right.
Do we wait for them to be, you know, the gas in our tank, or do we look, I talked to you early on about the illusion of choice. Okay. If I want to be successful at something, I don't have to make up the path to get there. It's predetermined. Want to be an NFL quarterback? There's already a way. Want to be a good husband? There's already a way. You know, want to be a good pharmaceutical rep? There's already a way. Now, I either do it or I don't. I mean, that's the book, It Takes What It Takes. So if I'm, man, I don't feel like doing it, I want to do this, I'm going to accomplish this, so I'm going to do it, and my feelings will catch up. Mm-hmm. And the feelings will catch up, so it's just a matter. And there's nothing wrong with not really wanting to do anything. You know, like as average people become average through average behavior, not average aptitude. And behavior is, I feel like, I mean, think about college. How many people get through college in 3 or 4 years that are letting feelings dictate them as opposed to, you know what, this organic chemistry teacher sucks. All right. But I'm going because I need to pass organic chemistry. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than like, I just need to be inspired by him, you know, or I like what we're talking about today. Like, you know, I lasted 2 weeks in organic chemistry, so that's not the good example.
But I get that.
But but again, I just think from that perspective is, if you want something, the doing has to lead it, but the feeling still exists, but you have to agnostically step back and say, my feelings will betray me. Not because they're right or wrong, because of the nature of what a feeling is. You know, the action is always in my control, or inaction, right? The inaction is in my control, not saying something, not watching something.
So Trev, this is so valuable. And I just want to say thanks, because I think this is such an important line of conversation. As someone who is a feeler, I've had to work through a lot of this, but we have talked about on this show that sometimes our feelings are valuable, right? Like you say, they can sometimes betray us and lead us on a path that isn't constructive, but sometimes they offer really important data and directives for us to take power back in our lives. So how do you vet which feelings are ones that are betraying us versus which ones we should listen to?
Well, you know, hopefully I didn't use the word betrayal. Like, there's no right or wrong. So our feelings are massively important. Well, you know, why would we get married? Why would we win? Why would we love? Why would we work if we didn't want to be connected to our feelings? It's just a matter of the pace you need to move at. You know, in my experience in the athletic world, you know, if I feel like playing, you know, obviously it's going to help me do well. But if I don't feel like playing, I still have a standard I have to meet. And those are my routines and the things that I go out and do. So I don't think there's some feelings we listen to, others we don't. I think a lot of this comes back to self-awareness. Hey, when it comes to the topic of politics, I lose my mind. So I know that about myself. So I'm just going to kind of let that go and power through that. When it comes to, you know, making money, you know, I get really emotional because of how I was raised and my own circumstances. So I tend not, you know, I have to look at it more this way. I think this kind of comes down to, it's not like, I just know that doing is in our control. Action solves frustration. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the truth. I can make myself do anything. And if I have something I'm aspiring towards, I would rather make myself do it. And then I typically believe my feelings catch up. You know, like I've got a webinar after this, and then my mom comes in. But if I'm like, I think we're still snowed in here, but if I want to get this hike, you know, at 28 degrees, then, you know, I got to make myself go there. And I know by the time I get to the top of the mountain, I'm going to be glad I did, you know? You know, that's where I think it's important. It goes back to, I think, a really good story, you know, Lone Survivor, the story of Marcus Luttrell, Operation Red Wing, SEAL Team 10. I think such an incredible story. You know, Marcus would come and speak to many of the colleges, and he rehabbed in Pensacola, where I would work quite often in one of my earlier jobs, and getting to spend time with him. But I'll never forget, you know, basically that four military operators had to go, and survey a high-valued Taliban target. The mission goes south, and essentially by the end of the night, everybody dies except Marcus Luttrell. 160 Taliban are surrounding him, and he says he's staring up at the sky. He'd been shot 8 times, fibula, tibia broken. He'd bitten his tongue in half, and he just said he just wanted to quit. It was like in his mind it was over. Then he had to rationalize it with himself and say, I'm not quitting. Yeah. So he grabbed a rock and he reached his arm out and drew a line. And he said, if I can get to that line and I'm not dead, I'm going to reach my arm out and draw another line and try to get to that line. And then he did that for 7 miles until he was ultimately in a position where he could be saved, which he was, you know, and like his emotions and his feelings, everybody died, the pain, all that stuff, very real. Then he went to that practical side, that neutral side of drawing a line. And I've never seen a time more powerful in November in 2020 than drawing that line. Hey, look, this is what I'm gonna do today, and I'm gonna reach out and I'm gonna do it. And if I help myself today, and that's what I'm doing tomorrow, you know, because looking at the big picture is tough to do right now because it's really confusing.
And it's elusive. Kevin calls it a wet sandwich. We have no idea what's coming. We have no idea how things are shifting. And you just have to kind of roll through it. And like you said, get to that next line, get to the next line, get to the next line. I think it's such a great story. It reminds me, we got to watch that movie again, Lone Survivor. Wow.
I've never seen it.
Oh yeah, our friends produced it.
Peter Berg, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's
and Randall.
And even I watched Cinderella Man recently, and I watched like the true documentary of Jimmy Braddock, you know, the Irish fighter. It was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I just watched Cinderella Man too. Just same as you. Just you know, I'm trying to find those things to pump me up.
Gladiator. Right. I watched Gladiator recently for some inspo too.
Yeah, but you know,
Rocky
like,
Balboa.
I just think.
I'm such a dude.
Like movies affect my emotions.
Yes.
So controlling that. I mean, look. I want to be clear. I don't have a lot of answers. What I've tried to do, you know, A, being raised in a traditional self-help environment, B, having to apply a lot of it on my own at various times in my life. You know, whether it was marriage, health, sports, athletic, you know, the different types of things. But I think when you start to develop truths in your life, like this is not how I shoot, like this is how we're doing it. You know, Tony Robbins calls it resolve. No, it's gonna get done. This is going to get done. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just a matter of all of us finding a platform. What I would say, you know, with Jeff and you know, what we're seeing in Generation Y and Generation Z is a constant quest to find different ways to do different things. That's why I'm not a big, when somebody says, Trevor, I read your book, what should I read next? Just follow my book, bro. like we're looking for, like, yeah, you know, these people that are like, you know, reading themselves, and it makes me sound ignorant. I know it does, but I think you ultimately, you pick some philosophies, you pick some shows, you pick some different things that help you form a philosophy, then you got to trust it. Mm-hmm. You know, Derek Jeter, when he was 0-for-40, I remember talking to his agent, Casey Close, and said, man, Casey, is there anything I can do? And he said, you know, Derek's fine. And that because Derek, where a lot of baseball players are saying, they're getting in their taxi cab and saying, hey, man, you know, how do you hit a curveball? And we the taxi driver is, he might have a philosophy, but you got to trust.
Yeah.
In your relationships, when it's tough, you got to trust, you know, in your habits. This is how I exercise. And I love what you do, Maria. You're constantly looking to aggregate on top of that, but you're not like trying to make wholesale changes all the time.
You take bits from everybody that feels good to you that you think you can apply.
Right.
But also what I think we're doing here every day on Better Together isn't just aggregating incredible experts like you. We're also feeding our minds good content. When
right.
I turn on the TV, I see the complete opposite. I see people instilling fear in us. I see people feeding negativity to us. I am uncomfortable. And I also find it really hard to find truth anywhere, like real truth. And as a journalist, I find it so challenging and so upsetting to see that not be kind of a North Star anymore. Opinion is a North Star. And it's really frustrating. So for me, I love this cocoon because we all are here. We want to be better. We want to get better. We want to take our nuggets, add them to our tool belt. You gave us so many today. And
thank you. And
we surround ourselves with people who are going to elevate our standards and elevate us as people. That's what I like every day. That's what I want to be around. And ever since we had you on the show, maybe it was even earlier this year, I am very judicious with what I choose to watch and when I choose to watch it. I try not to watch anything scary or intense at night because I know what that's going to yield. It's going to yield me nightmares that feel real, which goes back to what you were saying. Our body can't distinguish between, you know, real and not real. You're feeling it. And I don't want to feel that negativity. So I think that life is about choices. I end the show every day with be a nice person, make good choices, and be present. Because when you're present, you can feel things, you can listen to guidance, inner guidance. And when you make choices, you have to realize they have consequences, good and bad. And I think what you were saying today was really enlightening for all of us is think about what you're going to choose not to do. There's a simpler kind of feeling around, oh, I'm choosing not to do this. Choosing to do something sometimes feels like more of an uphill battle. Okay, I'm going to quit sugar, right? Which I have just recently started. And so I'm choosing not to have it feels a lot better than the opposite. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah.
I can't thank you enough as always. We had so many like incredible aha moments with you today that we are going to be socialing out and getting out to everybody. And so obviously this is to be continued, but I want to make sure you get to your hike and you get to your mom.
Incredible care of that handsome boo you got too.
I'm going to be in touch. I have something I want to run by you later.
Yeah.
I'm
going to head into LA this week for some stuff to do, stay at an Airbnb out there. And then I'm around, but I'm just up in the mountains, bro.
Yeah, I love it. So smart.
Honey, you should invite him to your crib.
There you go.
I'll tell you what, what's let me know when you guys get out here. But it was I'm literally paying half of what I was paying in Manhattan Beach for, you know, 10 beds, 5 bedrooms, you know, a lodge, you know, a mile back from the lake.
That's awesome.
And it's just been perfect for me right now, you know, because it's things scary, you know.
Yeah.
Nature either way, whether it's the woods or the beach, is so special and so healthy for the mind. I know for me being here in the woods, I feel like a completely different person. So it's
and my
great.
Former significant other, who we're still really good friends, she lives in Joshua Tree with a new significant other and all that stuff, but she comes over every couple of weeks and we go hiking.
Oh, that's great.
And we hang out.
That's nice.
Joshua Tree is only 90 minutes, crazy enough, from the San Bernardino Mountains.
Yeah, we haven't spent any time over there.
So that's been great. She's been one of the only people that, you know, that I spend time with because we, you know, trust each other health-wise and all that stuff. So that's been kind of cool. But you got to be tough when you get a lot of this downtime when you're by yourself a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for me, like personally, it's like, all right, I'm going to take an hour in the middle of the day and just chill out. I'm going to go here. I'm going to hike. I'm going to do these 3 hours of webinars. Then I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to watch a movie at 8, mm-hmm. you know, and then kind of go from there. So love seeing you guys. Really appreciate the opportunity to jump in.
Oh, we love you, Trev.
And let's stay more connected.
Yes, please. Definitely. Love you. Thank you so much.
And Trev, I have to say, go Seahawks. Yeah,
reach out anytime. Give my best to the crew. Maria, you look beautiful as always. Oh,
thank you. Thank you so much.
See you guys.
All right.
Bye, Trev.
Wow. So he never fails to blow our minds.
Literally. I was like,
right?
So good. So good. He just puts it in such terms too that are like digestible, because I'm that way too. It's hard for me to be like, I'm gonna journal this amount every day. I'm gonna do I know I can, but it's hard. It's really hard for me. That I'm like, oh my God. And I would always say, if with jobs, I thought about it, like if I could check a red X on that, like, oh, I don't want to do that, then it helps me know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Oh, it was so good. Yeah. So good.
Jeff, Kev, any final thoughts?
I mean, I'm just, one of the things I'm so proud of about this show is the variety of guests we bring on. And, you know, all of our guests pull together a blanket, a quilt, right? That all validate what each other say, but they do it in different ways.
Yeah.
So
we can reach people in different places and different kinds of people. You can reach a Kevin or you can reach a Maria. You can reach everyone.
Exactly. And so it's so cool because I'm hearing some of Dr. Susan David and Trevor's approach to a healthy distance from your emotions, right? But it's in this way that is driven by pragmatism and a sort of an intense athletic mindset. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of the fact that the content we're producing on this show is aligned and consistent and focused on betterment, but in such a unique variety of ways. Such a cool guest. It's I could listen to him all day.
Well, and if you want to win whatever you're doing, you listen to somebody like a Trevor, because what he was saying, and I didn't want to get too detailed about it, is what he's telling a Russell Wilson, who is literally top percentile of high performing, high functioning, highly successful human beings. And he's giving you insight into their methodologies, their mindsets. And that's what it takes to be the best, to be an Olympic gold medalist. So yes, some of this stuff, you know, an average person doesn't have to like really go that far where it's like, okay, I got to push through all my feelings always. But it is a wonderful tool and technique to use in important moments for yourself as well.
Well, I think going back to an average person, I mean, you know, if you're content being average, it's okay. But if you want to be better than average, you know, this is a guy who's providing you a blueprint with his book. I know, because I'm in the same boat. I will give these, you know, 1 hour consultations, give everything for free, 25 years of my out of the box show, and then I get the same thing. Okay, so who else should I listen to? And what? No, just go now and do the work.
Yeah.
You know, you read his book, just do it. I mean, that's why he always goes back to that Nike thing. Mm-hmm. But I see so many people who are thinking and plotting, and this could go wrong, and maybe that, and you don't understand. Shut up and do it. Just do it. Just less think, more do, you know. So I think that it applies. I think that this could apply to everybody. I still don't know an easy way, a road to greatness. I just don't know it. And I always say, if there's teachers out there that have that easy way, tell me, so it will help me with my life and how I teach. As of now, I don't know an easy way to greatness.
Well, if you want more with Trevor, he has been on our show many times. All of his appearances are just as amazing, if not more. So you can check out episodes number 40 and number 51 and our conversations interview from even 2019. In the meantime, if you want more from Trevor, you can follow him on his Instagram at Trevor Moad. We'll put the link to that in the summary here. And then also his book, It Takes What It Takes, is available wherever books are sold. It is incredible and you will love it. In the meantime, follow us at Better Together with Maria, at Trevor Moad, at Jeffrey Crane Graham, at Kelsmeyer too. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Hey, bye everyone.